Well, hello and welcome. This is DeCourcy Williams. Whoa, wait a minute. My name is DeCourcy Williams, and this is the Uplifting Words Podcast. Thank each and every one of you guys for listening to the sound of my voice, and I want to wish you all peace, love, and happiness. I'm still on a little bit of a high because August the 27th was my actual birthday, so I'm still celebrating. I've been kind of celebrating all month, drinking up some good wine, spending time with family. Yeah, I'm enjoying this time that I'm spending with family and learning these new ways of homeschooling. If you follow me on Instagram, I share some stories, or I share my workspace of my son and all of his schoolwork. And, you know, he's kind of taken over the kitchen table, and he seems to be getting along well doing his work remotely. But I do have one concern. So I believe that we are all creatures of a social being, and being face to face with our peers, with our friends, is really, really important, especially for younger children. And kind of right now, they're not getting that in school. So that's a bit of a small concern. But I mean, the teachers are taking it seriously. Big shout out to the teachers. We're all learning. I read a quote that what teachers are doing right now is the equivalent of learning how to fly a plane while they're still building the plane. and it kind of shows up. Technical glitches, trying to get children to understand certain things about, you know, where to click here and how to make your screen show like a grid view so you can see your classmates, and how to get off of the grid view, and how to, I don't know. Sometimes dealing with a suite like Google tools, like the Docs and the Sheets and Google Classroom. I mean, it's simple for us as adults, right? But for these younger people, it's taken them a little bit more time to get used to, especially since what the majority of them are used to is pushing a button and starting up a game. They're not used to doing anything more than that. So, but anyway, I would like to start this particular episode off by reading a mantra, something that I kind of read over on a daily basis, something that I believe helps me out with my perspective. And perspective is everything. So it's a little bit, well, it's not that lengthy, but it's a little lengthy. But let me read it right quick. Hopefully it can bless somebody else. Hopefully somebody else can use it to their advantage and maybe adopt some of the some of what I'm going to say. So it goes a little something like this. I am a man of vision. I can see the invisible and do the impossible. I can see expansion in my life, and I can make it happen. I am endowed with the wisdom to know what to do to expand my life and the lives of my family, and the courage to follow through on with the expansion. I walk by faith and not by sight. I will face the future with boldness and enthusiasm. I have the vision to manage myself and expand myself to lead others. I, DeCourcy Williams, am a person of virtue. I have focus and discipline. I'm consistent, I'm persistent, I'm responsible, I'm dependable, I'm enthusiastic, I am energetic. I am passionate and compassionate with the life I have been given, and it's pulsating through my very being. And I think something like that is really important in times like this, when all of this negativity swirling around us, all of this fear, all of this doubt, all of this circus is swirling around us. I believe if each person can kind of adopt something from that mantra and embrace it as their own and say it to themselves on a daily basis, and of course you insert your name where I inserted my name, and you know, the whole man/woman thing, change that up as needed, but something like that is very important in times like these. Let me go over some news just a little bit, because the situation that's going on in, where's it, Wisconsin, where the guy shot the protesters, and he managed to drive himself back home to Illinois. Or his mom came and drove him back home to Illinois. Like I said, we still don't know all of the details. We still don't know all the details about the Jacob Blake shooting. He's in the hospital right now. He's paralyzed. I mean, at least he's still alive. But he's paralyzed from the waist down. And heartbreaking that they've got him handcuffed to the hospital bed. I'm wondering, like, was he under arrest? Was he under investigation? What was going on when they shot him in the back 7 times anyway, other than the fact that he was walking to his car and he had his kids in the car? But he's handcuffed to the hospital bed now while being paralyzed from the waist down. Like, that doesn't make any sense. That's just like adding insult to injury. But then on top of that, protests that erupted in that particular area, there was another young man. He was 17 years old. He ended up with they call it a long gun. Like, I don't even know what that is, but it was an assault rifle. Something that he wasn't legally allowed to have, basically, because of underage. Not only that, but I'm pretty sure there's some legal logistics of him driving across state lines, because he came from Illinois where the protesters were. I believe it was Wisconsin. Don't quote me. I think we're in Wisconsin. But yeah, he shot 2 people, and then he got to an area where some other protesters were trying to stop him from shooting anybody else, and then he shot somebody else. He shot another protester. So 2 people died, 1 person seriously injured, and they kind of nicely, neatly arrested him from his home in Illinois. He actually walked up to the cops. There's a video, obviously. But he walked up to the cops with his hands up, and he was ready to surrender himself. But the cops were just like, get out of the way, move on, get out of here. And they went looking for, I don't know what, they went driving down the street, I guess looking for somebody else. And we're talking about 4 or 5, like, the tanks that the cops are in that they control crowds with, and they throw the tear gas out of. They drove right by him and let him go. So, we'll see how this goes off. I know there's going to be people that's going to say that he shot the protesters out of self-defense. But we don't see the other 2 protesters that he shot either before he just casually walked down the middle of the street, got into an altercation with another group of protesters and shot a 3rd one. So, more information coming out about this. We'll see how this is handled. But, man, I just want to stress, guys, just empathy. Like, we are in desperate need of more empathy. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take a quick break, pay a couple of bills, play some commercials. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to talk about the importance of some of these words that we hear all the time and how we can apply those to our lives. Words like love and empathy. And in terms like that, because that's what we need now. But like I said, I'll be right back, and I hope to see you then. Hey there, podcast listeners. DeCourcy Williams here, and I've got a quick treat for you. Have you ever wanted to start investing your money? Did you ever want to get into the stocks game but didn't know where to get started? Did you want to have some money saved up for that rainy day fund that you've been talking about? Well, let me introduce you to Stash Invest. Stash is the app that you can have right on your mobile device, and it'll allow you to save money incrementally without even thinking about it. You can also invest your money into ETFs and stocks on a weekly, a bi-weekly, or monthly basis. Whether you're saving for retirement, or saving for that next big vacation, or just building up some cash for that next big purchase, you can be confident that Stash will help you reach your goals. So click the link in the description. You'll get $5 for starting with Stash for free if you click the link, and you'll be on your way to a better financial future. So click the link and let's get stashing. All right, well, welcome back. Thank you very much for sticking with me and just going over some happenings that are happening in our world during these days and times. And I just believe with all of my being and all of my soul that we need more empathy. Now, the dictionary describes empathy as the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. So, what that particularly means to me is being able to understand someone else's life, being able to understand someone else's point of view. And it just seems like right now, nobody is trying to understand what the other side is saying. And then it just results in a whole bunch of yelling and screaming. Let me tell you something. Being a black man in this country, I realize that, yes, we are treated differently. Yes, there is racism. But we have kind of been conditioned to just deal with it, to just live with it. And it's something that is exhausting. It is something that takes up a lot of your mental acuity on a day-to-day basis. It's something that you kind of have to be aware of at all times, because you don't want to put yourself in a situation where, you're expecting certain situations to arise, but you also have to be able to keep your mind and not act out of emotion, not act out of anger, not act out of fear. And still, a lot of those times, that doesn't work. Like, we still end up being prosecuted, even killed, or anything. So, we understand that there's this thing going on where we are not treated the same. And let me tell you where I think it comes from. There's this sort of deep-seated, I'm not even going to call it racism, I want to call it fear. There's this fear of things that are of darker or different color, I believe. There was a video a while ago where these little girls were playing with dolls. And we're talking about 5, 6, 7-year-old little girls, I think. They were young. And the girls were asked to choose which doll they would pick. And of course, they had like the dark doll, and they had the like kind of medium complexion doll, and then they had like the white doll. And they had little girls of all races and ethnicities to make these choices. And not surprisingly, all the little girls chose the white doll. And I don't know where that came from, but there's this inherent thing where black is seen as negative, it is seen as evil, it is seen as underhanded, and white is seen as pure and virtuous, and something to aspire to. And I think that's where it comes from. And then it kind of crosses over into like the words that we say, like when you say a little black lie or a little white lie, or when you say you're going to blackmail somebody, like there's negative connotations in the adjectives that you use or the terms that you use to describe something. And I think it starts from there. So then you've got people that believe that black people aren't not the same, that we are of lower intelligence, that we are of a different species, I guess. I don't know how people think, but there's that assumption that we are less than because we are darker. And then you can get into the whole conversation about even within our own community, like darker skinned black folks kind of resenting lighter skinned black folks because they can pass off as white. I'll say, or they're closer to being able to pass off as well. I mean, there's all of this that we deal with on a daily basis. And so we also have to acknowledge that even if we do everything right, even if we can go to school, we can get the degrees, we can be the smart people, the smartest person in the room, and that still will not allow us to be seen as equal. It's amazing to me how people think that these sports players shouldn't have a say in anything. People think that just because they have loads of money that a black athlete kind of escapes the reality of racism. That doesn't stop somebody from discriminating against you just because you have a whole bunch of money. Like, where did that come from? That comes from this worship of money, the worship of having all of these things and being envious of somebody. You think that shields them somehow from feeling the effects of somebody discriminating against them. That's not true at all. Just because somebody has a whole bunch of money and they're black, they're still going to feel that racism. They're still going to know. And the fact that these sports players, people are telling them to just, like, you know, shut up, this doesn't apply to you because you're so rich, that doesn't mean anything. So, but getting back to empathy, like, if you could truly try to understand somebody else's point of view, and I've always tried to do that. I've always tried to, you know, take or try to understand both sides of the coin or both sides of an argument. And I just think that if a lot of people adopted an empathetic mindset, maybe some of this would go away. I don't know. When I was younger, it's kind of funny. I used to think that when all the old racists die out, then we wouldn't have racism on the planet anymore. Like, how naive was I? Because they're just teaching the same thing to younger children. Like, there's still these stigmas going on that, for lack of a better phrase, that black people are animals. And that's where we are. They're like, there are still some people that they just feel like are the color of our skin. And this is from Shannon Sharp, because I saw him on Undisputed. But he said the color of our skin is more dangerous than somebody white walking around with an AK, an AR-15, or whatever. Whatever the gun is. You know I don't know guns. I'm not even shy in saying that I've only held a gun once in my life. I've never actually fired a gun. And, like, when I was younger, people used to say, like, oh my God, you're black and you've never held a gun? Like, what in the hell does that mean? Where do you get off saying that because I'm black, like, we just have guns around us all the time? Like, but anyway, now I think it's just more of an age thing. Like, oh my God, you're in your mid-40s and you've only held a gun once or twice and you've never actually shot a gun. Like, okay, I can get that. Like, I'm older, I should have had my hands on a gun, you know, that type of thing. But when I was young, it was more about, oh, you're black and you've never touched a gun, like, that type of thing. Like, people just kind of assume, the assumptions that because you're black, like, because I'm black, I'm supposed to like rap music. No, I do not. Now, don't get me wrong, there are some times where the ratchet is in me and it comes out, and sometimes I do enjoy listening to that, but that's not where I default. My default setting is, like, really laid back, smooth type of music, or, you know, something like that. But I mean, they're just the assumption. Even I face them every day. Like, there's still people that are surprised at the way that I speak. Like, because I'm black, I'm not supposed to be able to speak and enunciate my words, or be able to put thoughts together and string them along in sentences and communicate that clearly, like, that type of thing. Like, I still get that to this day. So, empathy. That's what I want to convey to people. Empathy. Just being able to understand where another side is coming from. Somebody else's point of view is so important during these times. And instead, people are just, we're just yelling and screaming at each other. Now, there are a couple of different other types of empathy. You've got cognitive, emotional, and compassionate empathy. And they're just like different skills that you need to kind of, I think, to help us get over this hump of, you know, of screaming at each other, you know. So you got cognitive empathy, also known as perspective taking. And it might not be something that many of us would think of as empathy at all, but cognitive empathy is basically being able to put yourself into someone else's place and see their perspective. Like, that's the bare bones, most basic way of empathy. On the emotional empathy side is when you really try to feel the other person's emotions alongside them. It's kind of as if by osmosis you've caught their feelings and their emotions. And then lastly, we've got the compassionate empathy. And that's where we, what kind of what normal people would understand as empathy is taking someone else's pain and then standing up and taking action to help that person. So, three types of empathy, three very different ways to express them, and kind of what we're seeing now, which we've never seen before, is white people kind of taking up for black people and saying, okay, something is wrong. Like, this has been going on for far too long. We need to stand up and do something or say something or act or march or whatever. That is the compassionate empathy. But, like, the bare bones that I think is probably the most important is the cognitive empathy, where you actually try to take on somebody else's perspective. What if in this country, the major occupants of law enforcement were black, and black people were running around shooting young white boys? Like, and then we would also see, on the other hand, black cops standing up for young black men. Like, we see these videos of these white guys and they're like charging police, or they're like yelling and screaming at police, or they're not complying. Like, everybody says, why don't they just comply with the police's orders? Why don't we have some of these white guys that don't comply? They're not getting shot. Like, we've seen videos of white guys attacking police officers and going after their guns, and they're not shot. They're still alive. So, and that's where a lot of people, we're not understanding why this is happening. And I think the emotion that you see is people trying to figure out why, like, why we are hated so much. Like, that's the part that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, what have black folks done to cause so much hatred in other people? So that's what I got for you guys today. I want to talk about empathy, and I hope that everybody kind of takes those three different types of empathy and see if you can use them on your day-to-day living. Your cognitive empathy, your emotional empathy, and your compassionate empathy. But it all comes down to trying to put yourself into somebody else's shoes and to try to feel what they feel about certain situations. And that's what it's all about, guys. So we need more empathy. We need more love. We need more compassion right now. I'm not talking politics. I'm not talking I myself personally, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I am a person. I am a man who has a family. I'm a man who has an 11-year-old son who, within the next year or so, people are going to start looking at him and seeing a threat. I am a man who has a daughter who is trying to navigate her way. She's now an adult. She's trying to navigate her way in this world. I am a man who is looking to leave a legacy for my family, and a legacy of abundance, and a legacy of excellence, and a legacy of excelling. I am just a person with a family, and there are things that are going on, and I might disagree with my neighbor. We might not see the way to get to a certain place, but I also have to understand that that's just a person too, and they're trying to do the exact same thing that I'm doing. We are all just trying to survive and live, and we want things to be fair. And that's it. Like, that's what I have, guys. Empathy. So thank you very much for sticking with me today. Don't forget, check me out on Instagram under Corsi the Wine Lover. A lot of people joining this wine business, man. Good Lord. If you haven't checked it out yet, don't forget to go to the link in my Instagram bio. You can get more information. Go to my blog. Wow. It's all there. So I invite you guys to come hang out with me on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, on my blog site, Corsi's Corner of Online Treasures. That'll all be linked in the show notes. thank you guys very much. Let's go out and practice some empathy today, and let's try to see, try to put ourselves in somebody else's shoes, all right? Because that's what I believe is going to help with a lot of this. So thank you guys very much for joining me, and I will see you in the next one.